Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Ask the expert. We are here to talk about how to get a good night's sleep. And Matti Verghese, who's a sleep psychologist and behavioural sleep therapist at the Sleep Therapy Clinic in Dublin, is with me in studio this afternoon. Matti, good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you for asking me.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you want to get your questions or your voice notes in for Matti this afternoon. Typically over the winter period, I know we talk a lot during the summer, you know, about getting a good night's sleep when it's a little bit warmer and more humid. But typically, do we tend to struggle during the winter?
Not so much. I think people tend to sleep a little bit longer in the winter months. And that maybe that can be attributed to the lack of light in the evening hours inducing the sleepiness. And also for evening type people, you know, you have morning type and evening types. So the evening type people may have a little bit of difficulty getting up in the morning or waking up at an earlier time because of the later sunrise time. Mm. So generally, we tend to sleep a little bit longer. One of the areas where we may have a little bit of difficulty is to adjust the temperature to our optimal comfort. So that's, again, it varies from person to person.
Do you suggest winter duvets? Winter blankets? Like, should we be changing our bedding?
I think so, because we have two different types of sleep environment. One is our immediate sleep environment is under the duvet, and also the largest sleep environment is the bedroom itself. So to optimize the temperature in the immediate sleep environment, I think we have to look at switching between summer duvet and the winter duvet.
Right, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Listeners got in touch to say, I've always been a restless sleeper ever since I was a young child. I roll, rock, laugh, sleepwalk as well, talking in my sleep. I tend to dream a lot and I can remember the dreams the next morning. Is there anything you can suggest as a resolution to my restlessness?
I think everybody has their own unique sleep need.
Yeah.
You know, the recommended sleep duration is over 7 hours or 7 to 9 hours. So the first thing to do will be to make sure that we are getting an adequate sleep opportunity, we're keeping the good sleep habits, and getting the sufficient quantity of sleep that the person needs, just to make sure that the sleep architecture itself is good. You know, sleep happens in cycles, and each cycle has its own different stages of sleep, which is what we call the sleep architecture. So to make sure that is preserved, and if it's still having difficulty, I think it's definitely worthwhile speaking to a sleep physician with expertise in that sort of sleep difficulties, like sleep walking and talking.
This listener says, what causes sleep talking or talking in your sleep? Is there anything that we can do to stop it? My husband shouts in his sleep.
Yeah, so it's almost like we're acting out our dreams while we are in our sleep. So it is something that needs to be discussed with the physician if the problem still persists after prioritizing our sleep opportunity and making sure that we get good quantity of sleep.
Yeah, and sleep talking, so that's just you, that's you acting out your dream, basically.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't typically mean it's more like a nightmare if you do tend to sleep talk.
It's hard to know. I think it varies from person to person as well. But it is one of those categories. I mean, there are different categories of sleep disorders, and that falls into one of those categories that needs to be seen by a physician to find solutions to
it. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. A texter is wondering, do things like sleep spray, do they work or are they just a gimmick?
A sleep spray?
Yeah.
Like a lavender spray? I think lavender is proven to be effective in reducing our anxiety or calming ourselves a little bit. So if it doesn't cause any problems, feel free to use it, but don't be depending on it to get a good night's sleep.
Okay.
So that becomes what we call a sleep-related effort, that I have to have the lavender spread on my pillow to sleep, which is probably not the best approach to have. But if it helps to become more relaxed, go ahead, yeah.
Is there a way of stopping nightmares? Lately, I've been having very vivid dreams, says this texter.
Okay, I will go back to what I mentioned earlier about sleep architecture, to make sure that we're getting sufficient quantity of sleep. And to get the sufficient quantity of sleep, we have to have adequate sleep opportunity. You know, the time between the lights off and the lights on, that has to be long enough to get sufficient quantity of sleep.
How long should it be?
So the recommended sleep duration is over 7 hours or 7 to 9 hours.
Yeah, 7 to 9 is what we need.
That's 7 to 9 is what we need, but it varies from person to person. But the not recommended sleep duration is under 6 hours. So if you are sleeping under 6 hours, we start to accumulate a sleep debt.
And the 7 hours that you're talking about, say, right at the lower end, that's 7 hours that you are asleep. So how long do we need to be typically in bed beforehand?
So we should be able to sleep 85% of the time that we spend in bed.
85%. And then you need to try and get 7 hours. Six is too little.
Six is too little, yes.
Yeah. I tend to shake a lot in my sleep, which often wakes my wife. I obviously don't know that I do this, but I'm told about it the next day. Is there anything I can do to try and stop it?
It may be an indication of the micro arousals or the mini awakenings that we are having. So then we have to look at, okay, what is causing those awakenings? Is it snoring or is it an element of sleep apnea, or is it restless legs, or is it problems with our stomach that is causing multiple awakenings at night? So again, it is something to speak to the GP, and if it is not resolved, to get a referral to a specialist.
So you would need to go to the GP about that if you tend to shake a lot. So
it also depends on whether we have any daytime consequences from it. Are we feeling sleepy and fatigued and tired during the daytime, despite having a good night's sleep?
I wonder, do people often overlook this? You know, I wonder how many people go to the GP with sleep issues.
I think it's one of those things where we wait quite a long time before we actually look for help. And that happens even in the case of insomnia, where somebody is having difficulty falling asleep or falling back asleep.
This listener says, I was a shift worker for 9 years. I've only changed jobs lately to become to 9 to 5 working hours, but can't get my sleep right. I can't sleep at all now at night. Any suggestions?
It comes to reshaping the pattern of our light exposure. So the person has been used to sleeping during the day and working at night. So we need to kind of have some plans or focus on strategic light exposure to reduce the light exposure in the evening and increase the light exposure in the morning, and gradually to bring him back to sleeping at night and staying awake during the daytime. Mm.
This listener says, my partner snores, but lately it has actually got extremely, extremely bad. It's so much louder. It's considerably worse than in recent years. How do I know the difference between snoring and sleep apnea?
Yeah, sleep apnea is a situation where people stop breathing when they are sleeping. So it is coming from the repetitive closure of the upper airways. So when you look at people who snore and who have sleep apnea, you hear the snoring first, the snoring gets louder and louder, and then you get a few seconds of pause. And that's when we call it an apnea. And when someone gets an apnea, their oxygen levels can dip, or they can get a mini awakening in their brain. So that's quite disruptive to sleep, which can cause increased daytime tiredness and sleepiness. So there are habitual snorers who doesn't have sleep apnea, but there are also snorers who have sleep apnea. So you're watching out for the pauses.
So it's when it gets very loud, and then if there's split seconds, you know, of silence or pauses.
It has to be at least 10 seconds.
Okay.
So sometimes it's not a complete pause, but there is a reduction in the airflow that is going in and out into the lungs. So that can also be called, that's what we call the hypopnea.
Yeah.
And the complete cessation is an apnea. So when we have either of those, and depending on how many times that's happening every hour of the sleep, you know, that person may require treatment in those situations.
Okay. Kieran says, I'm sleeping under 5.5 hours every single night. I am very active, but I simply cannot sleep. I'm wondering, should I visit the GP to try and get sleeping tablets?
I think we need to look at what is the reason why the person is not sleeping. Is he having difficulty falling asleep, or is he having difficulty falling back asleep when he wakes up at night? The most validated non-medication treatment for insomnia or difficulty getting to sleep or getting back to sleep is what we call cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. It is about looking at optimizing our sleep-related habits or behaviors, and also correcting our beliefs about sleep to become more relaxed about it.
Another texter on this as well, Molly, today. Is exercise good or bad in the evening? Will it interrupt my sleep if I do it late at night?
It varies from individual to individual. Some people have no difficulty falling asleep after exercising vigorously, but someone else may have difficulty falling asleep because of the stress hormones that we release when we are exercising. Our body temperature also goes up when we are exercising. So I think it is something we have to observe ourselves, whether we are having difficulty getting to sleep or sleeping well following exercise, and if so, to avoid it.
How do you feel about melatonin tablets? Do you recommend them?
Melatonin, it is very regulated here in Ireland. It's a prescription tablet, which is always the best way to take it. You know, if you have difficulty, talk to the GP, and see whether melatonin, whether it is a difficulty that where melatonin can help. Mm. But I see a lot of people buying over-the-counter melatonin when they're traveling to America or Spain.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. And some of the studies that have been looked into, it showed that the actual content of the melatonin can vary hugely from what it is on the label. So it is something that we need to be careful about.
Yeah, and you think you should get them from the GP. There is obviously a big difference between melatonin tablets and then in sleeping tablets.
Yes, there is. Yeah, but sometimes melatonin is used to kind of avoid prescribing sleep medications by GPs. So it is always good to speak to your doctor before you start taking medications.
Just finally, Dave says, I wake up almost every night at 3 a.m. I can't get back to sleep until 5 a.m. I've no stress in my life, but I need to understand why it's happening.
So David may have noticed that when he wakes up at 3 a.m. he can't get back to sleep for 2 hours. So that might be kind of perpetuating that anxiety associated with maybe perpetuating his sleep difficulties. So that now we have to try and understand what are the dysfunctional beliefs that he's keeping, which is causing the anxiety and the resultant hyper-alertness that is stopping him from going back to sleep. We have found that always doing some journaling early in the evening is actually helpful to kind of put our day to bed, so we're not kind of revisiting what happened during the day when we wake up at 3 a.m. It almost becomes a meeting time with ourselves.
Molly Verghese, sleep psychologist, behavioural sleep therapist at the Sleep Therapy Clinic in Dublin. Molly, thanks a million
for
joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.